All righty, welcome back to the Taint Me Later podcast. I'm your host, Noah Rubin. This is episode 77, and today we're just going to join a random Yahoo mock draft, drafting from the 12th slot, and we'll just kind of see what happens. So let's get into it. All right, so this mock draft is set to start in a little less than 3 minutes. So while I have the time, I started this a little bit early just for a few housekeeping things. First, as you probably saw on Twitter, FBI is now partnering with Old Man Squad, which is part of, or it is Dan Bespris's new network. So, you know, the shows are still going to be in the exact same spot. You'll still find them here on our channel, but we'll be working together. So more people looking at our stuff, and then we'll be hosting the leagues that Dan was planning to have under his network. So that'll be hosted by FBI. So that's exciting for all of us. Another thing, well, we'll keep with the FBI related stuff right now. There's also just FBI leagues that we're still looking to fill. So if you need to get in touch with anybody or are interested in doing that, you can reach out to me, but probably the better option is to find B-Dub or Adam King and reach out to them, because they're going to give you a lot better information than I will. But you can still reach out to me, and I'll probably just give you exactly how to get in contact with them or help you join the FBI Discord, which is also, you know, that's where all of our content goes. Always people looking for leagues. So if you're really into fantasy basketball, I definitely recommend joining that Discord. The other thing on the Roto World side of things, we have been slowly rolling out a draft guide without any official announcement, just kind of been putting out articles every day. So definitely check those out. We've worked pretty hard on those. And then I don't know exactly when, but soon we have a more of like a digital magazine form of our draft guide that we'll be releasing. So I don't have a date on that yet, other than it's happening kind of soon. And we also, once again, worked very hard on that. So we'd appreciate everyone checking that out. To my understanding, that is free. I know the draft guide has been something you buy in the past, but our draft guide is free this year. It's just kind of in a different format. Still some pretty good info in there. A lot more valuable than free. The reason that I'm doing just a random, pretty basic mock, I know when you see Kingy coming out, he's doing punting strategies and reverse punting and all these other things that he's developing. Like he's talking about doing new league formats and stuff like that. All that interesting stuff. This is going to be pretty basic, partially because I haven't done one in a little while. So this is just kind of like, hey, let's see where things are, who I can get drafting at the end of drafts, because we kind of know who we're going early in drafts. But we'll see what happens drafting from the 12th spot. Part of the reason that I haven't done any in a while is I've started a new day job, which has taken a little bit more time away from me. It's, you know, not ideal timing to be starting one of those while fantasy basketball is just about to kick off. It's all the preseason content, which, you know, not great timing, but it's good. It's a good thing. And eventually everything will get sorted out, but it has prevented me from doing any mock drafts recently. And I felt a little bit behind with news, which I'm normally way up to date with. But I'm going to just pull up this mock, and we will get this started kind of soon, as soon as the draft loads. As you can see, it's a full 12 team. Everybody's in there. No auto drafters, hopefully. Or maybe there is one auto drafter in there. I see team 5, so that's interesting. Cool. So we got another 2 minutes before I start, and it looks like it might end up being a handful of auto drafters. So we'll see what happens. If anybody is watching and wants me to do a specific punt strategy or see what happens, I wouldn't be opposed to that. But other than that, we'll just kind of see who's available at 12 and probably make some sort of decision from there once this gets started. So, yeah, sorry. I thought that this was going to start a little sooner. I had prepared my little speech as we get started, but we'll see. Let's just base up ADP, who could be available. We're looking at Steph, Trey Young, Anthony Davis, Sabonis. Just looking at that, I'm probably going to try and target Steph and Trae Young, Steph or Trae Young. We'll see if they both make it to me. I don't love drafting Anthony Edwards this early, especially in a category league. I think this has kind of been a thing with him, is that we know how good he is at basketball, but the fantasy impact doesn't quite tend to line up all the time. And I'm not really seeing the statistical leap that would be required from him in order to really make good on a first round or early second round ADP. Just based on what we saw last year, he finished 37th. The games played was nice, was 79, but field goal percentage not great. Free throw percentage was improved. You know, a good, not great fantasy player. It feels like the only category that he really dominates is points, and then steals are pretty good, like above average. We need to just call him good. Like, that's definitely an option here. But so I'm not loving that. And I feel like I don't feel great about Sabonis there either. So just looking at this right now, I'm not loving drafting from 12. So we'll see. Hopefully this will be good practice. But we'll see. I don't think this is something that I'm going to end up loving. I know that a lot of people are doing podcasts and shows that keep us up to date with new Yahoo ADP orders, Yahoo ranks. So this is, we'll see how this goes. All right. Players are flying off the board. So just quick look. It went Wemby, Jokic, Luka, SGA, believe it or not. It's very surprising that it was those five players to start. Or excuse me, four players to start. And now, of course, this is where the draft starts. For everyone, really, it's like, you know who the first four players are. And now we'll just kind of see what happens here. It looks like we might get an auto pick. You know, lots of fun. Very helpful for data. Let's see. All right, starting to fly a little bit. All right, we'll see if this, from CouchChat, if this strategy helps. Go guard and small forward heavy early makes getting bigs very tricky if they get overdrafted in the middle round. So we'll keep that in mind and make sure we get our bigs somewhat early. So we'll see. All right, based off this, it looks like Tatum will be going next. So that is not the worst thing. I don't think I'd go Anthony Edwards or Sabonis. I would definitely be happy. Oh, who just went? Donovan Mitchell. Ooh, nice. That was going to be one of the guys that I was going to consider going here because he was a little bit further down these. I didn't know how quickly he was going to go. All right. I mean, if Tatum's there. Okay, so Anthony Edwards went 10. That's great for me because I'm totally fine with that. Who are we going to get here? If Tatum is there at 12, I mean, I kind of have to take him. Okay. I was not expecting to have all of these options. I'm going to go Jason Tatum, which is pretty cool. I don't think you're going to get him at 12 very often. I think I'm just going to go Trae Young over Steph, which I don't love but don't hate. I think they're both fine. Maybe it's a little bias there. I'm a Hawks fan, believe it or not. I know nobody's ever heard that before, but all right. So I got Tatum and Trae. Pretty good start to the draft. Can't complain about that at all. I think that's something that you're probably not going to have happen very often. So, I mean, because even if Tatum, I mean, I don't imagine him slipping to 12 very often, maybe probably like 8 or 9, but you're not getting Trae Young on the flip there because there's a good chance that he goes first round quite often. So we got, after Trae, we got Steph and then LaMelo. Hopefully some of these picks will start rolling out a little bit faster. That way I'm not trying to just fill the space with words. All right. We got KD after that. Keep this going. So right now, let's just look at my team, which, you know, not that I need to pull all this up, but the 2023-2024 averages. I expect Trae Young to be playing more games than 54. I don't think he'll have another injury like he had, but field goal percentage based off last year, pretty subpar. We'll see if maybe we just punt it. We'll see. I don't think I have to, but we'll see. Free throw percentage, both these guys will shoot a higher percentage this year, I'd imagine. Let me just double check Tatum's percentages in the past, because I feel like he was a little, so like 85, 86% is what he was doing for the few years before that. So, and Trae Young is closer to a 90% free throw shooter. So I'm not too worried about that. Both of them great for threes, great for points. Tatum's obviously pretty good for rebounds for a forward. Elite assists out of Trae, steals pretty decent, not a ton of blocks. And obviously, who cares about turnovers anyway? That's not something that I'm actively trying to win. It's not a category I'm actively trying to win very often. Just looking back, after KD, we went Scottie Barnes, James Harden, and Chet Holmgren. So some of these pairings so far, I went Tatum and Trae. Then I went Sabonis and Curry, Ant and LaMelo. That's fun. Donovan Mitchell and Kevin Durant. Nice well-rounded numbers. Tyrese Halliburton and Scottie Barnes. Could that be like a punt point situation? Potentially. Anthony Davis and James Harden. I think that's getting Harden there is pretty good value. I feel like he's going early second round most of the time now. I feel like he's got quite a bit of hype around him. Might even be going first round sometimes. Pairing Chet and Giannis. That's cool. Embiid and Booker. SGA and Brunson. Luka and Dame. Jokic and Kyrie. A lot of point guards going early on. That's very interesting. I don't love all of those. I guess, you know, some of these guys are labeled as point guards, but they're not really point guards. Okay, Cat in the second round. That was interesting. I was curious how much he was going to be impacted in draft boards now that he's not playing alongside Rudy Gobert. I feel like, I mean, everybody's buying the hype now, which hopefully it works out because I like Cat. Hopefully it works out for him with the Knicks' second stint with Tom Thibodeau. All right. Let's see if I can. Oh, you know what? Nah, we'll just leave it like this. Well, there is. Isn't there like. Maybe I'll do that instead. Yeah, we'll do this. This will look prettier. I forgot about this. That way everybody can see the draft board and I can just focus on drafting my players. All right. After Markkanen, we went De'Aaron Fox early in the third, and then Fred VanVleet, LeBron James, and Paul George early in the third round. So a few guys. Let's see. I'd have no problem taking a lot of these guys that are next based on ADP. Hopefully they don't all go before I get to pick, but Tyrese Maxey, Alperen Şengün just went. I was happy to take both of them. DeJounte Murray, Jaren Jackson, I'd be very happy with at this point. Jalen Johnson went. Dang. Oh, man, that's early. I love Jalen Johnson, but I feel like it might be getting out of control a little bit. All right. Three picks left till me. So I should get at least one. Like I should be able to get. Okay, so Bam Adebayo just went. So as long as the next two picks aren't like Jaren Jackson and I don't know, one of these other guys, I'm fine with taking a lot of them. Man, this is a good point about the lack of bigs. Yeah, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a good point here. Did have like a little, was it hamstring injury, I believe, strain. I'm still going to draft him. I'm not going to have any issues with that. So, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and take him here. And then I need to decide who I'm going to take with my other one. I guess we will lead into a punt rebounds. Or maybe punt field goal percentage. I feel like that's pretty good. All right. Who is not a good rebounder, not great for field goal percentage that can boost some other stuff? I don't want to just keep going guards here. I'll do this. Yeah, we'll fully punt rebounds. If Jason Tatum is my best rebounder, then we'll do that. So now we're very good on blocks, very good on threes. The assists are with Trey. I'll probably need to add a few more assists eventually. Don't care about rebounds. The points are still good. The free throw percentage will be fine. So yeah, I guess we'll lean into punting field goal percentage and rebounds. Try and be strong in the other categories, except turnovers, because who cares about those? We'll be strong with free throws, threes, points, assists, steals, blocks. Cool. I like that. All right. So before I picked, it went Jalen Johnson, Bam Adebayo, Cade Cunningham, Paolo Banchero. And then I went Jaren Jackson and Miles Turner back-to-back, tried to get a few bigs. Then it went Evan Mobley, Jalen Williams. Those are two guys I considered right there. DeJounte Murray falling to the fourth round I think is pretty insane to me. So excellent value. I thought about him, but I was like, you know what? I always go so guard-heavy in drafts because I like guards. So I avoided that one. And another guard that ended up going here. So after DeJounte, Rudy Gobert, Jimmy Butler, Ja Morant, and now Desmond Bane and Derek White just went. I thought about Ja Morant as well. I didn't go with him for the same reason. Didn't want to go too many guards early. And after Bane and White, it went Franz Wagner. And we are close to wrapping up the fourth round now. All right, so Kawhi Leonard just went in the fourth round. So that's pick 47. Wasn't able to see if that was some sort of auto pick or something, but I think getting him outside the top 50 is probably fine. I don't know. I think it's just how comfortable do you feel with Kawhi Leonard playing opening night? Like, they're saying that they're planning on him playing opening night, but things change, and there's been so much – I don't know, injury confusion there in the past. I wouldn't blame anybody for letting him slide further than this. I think this is probably earlier than I expected him to go, considering I haven't done a mock in a few weeks. So, and then Emmanuel quickly to wrap up the fourth round. And now we'll have one more pick. Might end up being an auto pick, which will be Jaylen Brown to close out or to start up round five. All right. Hopefully these can start going a little bit quicker now. I'll read out the next. Well, I'll wait for one more pick to happen, and then I'll read out who is best available that I could be targeting here based on who I've got. So Mikal Bridges just went round five. I don't think I love that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just totally missing something on Mikal Bridges, but I feel like I'm not excited to draft him at all this year. I don't know. I feel like maybe it's just a little bit of frustration from last year. Like, we know he's going to play a ton of games, but I don't see him coming in and just being like, I don't know, exactly what he was his last year in Phoenix, or exactly what he was that first half of his stretch with the Nets, or being like definitely better. It's like, I don't know. I feel like the games played is a boost, but you're not getting him like dominating any individual category aside from games played. So we'll see. Let's see. Oh, so this is a good point here from basically my co-host. Thank you for adding in some content here. Removal of Dante has people overhyped, which that's fair. I just assumed Mikal Bridges was going to start and play a good bit anyway. And I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I just don't foresee Dante DiVincenzo being taken out of the equation as being this massive, massive boost for Mikal Bridges. All right, let me lock back in. We've had a whole round while I've been ranting about Mikal Bridges. All right, after that, Tobias Harris, Pascal Siakam, Zion Williamson, Jalen Duren, Jamal Murray, Brandon Miller, Nikola Vucevic, and Miles Bridges. Ugh, a bunch of yuck names. All right, who am I going to go here? Because I think that's just what the middle of the draft is a bunch of names. And then CJ McCollum just went. Well, I'm going to go ahead and get Darius Garland because I feel like I'm just in on a bounce back season from him. And since I'm punting field goal percentage and rebounds, slightly punting, I'm not fully committing to it. I think that works out nicely because he does help me get some assists, some threes that I was, you know, I'm not getting a ton of assists in other directions. So it's good to get two very good assist guys. I think for this other pick, I might go Julius Randle. And this is probably a little early for him. At least it was when he was with the Knicks, and now I feel like it's a little bit better with Minnesota. Obviously, the fact that I'm not too stressed about field goal percentage helps. He is a pretty good rebounder, so, but, like, again, like, it's okay. It's okay if I have guys get rebounds if I'm punting rebounds. Like, it's okay. And he gets me some threes, gives me a good bit of points, so that's good as well. What I need to probably do with the next round is get some defensive numbers, specifically steals. Somebody that's elite in steals and then can maybe help me out in a couple other spots. And then probably, I don't know if, how many there are left, like a volume free throw shooter that's going to shoot a high percentage there as well. No idea if there's any left. I'd probably have to, I'm just scrolling down. I'm not seeing a ton, but maybe. I don't know, maybe this is just like a random thought that I shouldn't actually believe. I do kind of believe in a little bit of a Bradley Beal bounce back. He was much better down the stretch last year than he was to start the year, which I think it was like just learning how to play alongside Book and KD and then finally being healthy. So I think that this ADP he has of about 81 is going to end up, I think he'll end up outplaying that. And he is a guy that's a pretty good free throw shooter and should shoot a decent amount of them, like not like a ton, but all the guys shooting 8+ free throws per game are gone. But yeah, I wouldn't be upset if I had to take him next round. We'll see if he makes it back around to me, because that would be, I mean, his ADP would have him going a little bit earlier. So we'll see. Oh my gosh, you gotta be kidding me. He just went now. Okay, cool. So Bradley Beal went late round 6 instead of me getting him late round 7. Okay, so after Bradley Beal went, let me scroll back a little bit. After I went Julius Randle, went Michael Porter Jr., DeMar DeRozan, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Allen, that's good, DeAndre Ayton, Nick Claxton, Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, Isaiah Hartenstein, Josh Giddey, Cam Thomas, and now Devin Vassell, who does have the injury. I forgot specifically what it was, but he shouldn't be out too long, but not ideal to start the season dealing with an injury. All right, and then after Vassell went Yusuf Nurkic. So, and then Kyle Kuzma just went. So we've got 8 more picks before I pick. Brandon Ingram is still on the board, and if he's there, I'm just going to take him, even though I have no idea what's going to happen with that. Let's see, we've got another question here from a guy, Cal Chad. How much of a timeshare do you think Randle will be in with Nas, considering they had to publicly state Randle would be starting because it was already being debated? I think it'll be kind of like a, I don't know. I don't think it impacts him a ton in the sense, like, he's not going to be like Tibbs where he's playing 35 minutes per game, 36 minutes per game, but I think they can work through a rotation where he's getting 32 or 33, 34. Gobert's getting 33, 34, and Naz Reid's still getting like 28. Like, that's very realistic. So that doesn't even leave room for anybody else to see minutes. So I can see Naz being at like 25 minutes per game, Julius Randle being at like 32, 33. And that's not me doing any sort of numbers projection. That's just like a rough estimate. And it could depend like on like a hot hand situation as well. Like, We know Julius Randle will have cold spells. We know Naz Reid will get hot. So we'll see. I think Naz being able to play center as well as power forward, it's just he's going to get a ton of minutes and Julius Randle will just get more. So I'm not too worried. I think it's kind of a good situation for all of them, which obviously doesn't change a ton for Naz Reid, just flipping in Julius Randle. But I guess having Naz Reid and Julius Randle or Gobert and Julius Randle is more traditional and fits a little bit better. So I do like it. All right. Two picks or one more pick until I'm on the clock. And Brandon Ingram just went. A few of these picks I like. That was actually one of the ones like the pool pick here. I was going to say that was one of the guys I was like, shoot, I was thinking I was going to get him. All right. What am I doing with my, okay. I said I was going to get, try and get some steals or a volume free throw shooter. Not a ton of great options for steals at this point. I might try and just get that next round then, but I'm going to go with Austin Reaves, and maybe I'm leaning too much into not or forgetting about defensive numbers a little bit too much here. So maybe I will try and get somebody to get me some steals. But I do like Austin Reaves a little bit more this year than I did last year. I think just another year of growth and having JJ Redick a head coach. I don't know. Everything I've seen about JJ coaching, it seems to be really good so far. So I'm excited about what they can do there. And now I'm panic picking. I'm going to go Keegan Murray. Because I'm panic picking. I should have been less talking and more drafting. But I guess for the podcast, that's just the way it has to go. Vassell at 7-1 does seem a bit optimistic. I think given his injury history, I don't know. I love Devin Vassell, like for fantasy. And I think he's a great option when he's on the court, but he's had a lot of injuries over the past couple of years, like some, you know, longer term than others, some like just little things. But the fact that he's already dealing with one, already had a surgery, he's not going to be ready for opening night, like does have me a little bit concerned. I don't know. I probably wouldn't want to take somebody or anybody that's dealing with an injury like that that early or that much, I guess, that close to his just average ADP. I don't know a better way to word that. Just like I would want to get a 1 or 2 round discount, I guess. Because obviously if it's like, I don't know, Jokic, like I'm not going to say, oh, I'm not going to take Jokic before round 7. He's like, he still doesn't matter. But anyways, I digress. Going back a little bit, just to recap. So we had Jusuf Nurkić to start round 7. It was Vassell, Nurkić, Kyle Kuzma, Anthony Simons, Colin Sexton, Jordan Poole, Drew Holiday, OG Anunoby, Brandon Ingram, Tyler Hero, Bogdan Bogdanovic. I went Austin Reaves and Keegan Murray. Trey Murphy, Jakob Poeltl, Jonas Valanciunas, Jonathan Kuminga, and Jalen Suggs. Those were a couple guys I was thinking about before I panic picked. Kuminga and Suggs. We'll see. I know I mentioned I want to get some defensive numbers. Excuse me. I do kind of want to take, I really need to get another center at some point, but Herb Jones and Chris Paul. Wow. I didn't realize Onyeka Okongwu's ADP was so low and so much lower than Clint Capella's. Interesting. Don't know if I agree with that, but we'll see. So if I get, like, if this works out, I don't even know if this will work out, but Herb Jones and Chris Paul, that would be ideal next round. But I could also look at a guy like Alex Caruso. I would not be angry about that. Alex Caruso literally got picked as I said that. Okay. Hopefully nobody's doing this mock and watching me do this. But I guess the timing with that was a little too quick. There's no way. No way. All right. But I do want Tyus Jones in my queue. All right. We'll see if I can get few of these guys that I like. All right, let's recap what we've got happening recently. After Suggs, it was Chris Middleton, Jabari Smith, Alex Caruso, Rip, Mark Williams, Herb Jones just went, dang it. And then Draymond Green and Coby White. That is probably a pretty decent size slide for Coby White. And then Walker Kessler went. I'm a little bit lower on him this year, specifically because they've added all these other guards. Lonzo Ball's in back, so I'm not sure he's going to have the season he did last year. So I get the slide, but this still seems like it's pretty good value. Yes, this is live. And then we have, there's some fatigue with OO, and people are just using the toe issue to buy out this year. That's fair. To me, it's the fact that Clint Capella's ADP is about 30 spots earlier than Okongwu. And I guess that's why I'm kind of like, eh. Because I think when Okongwu gets healthy, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I feel like Quinn Snyder is going to start some of these younger guys. I think that's based off quotes I've read. I hope it's not just based off me hoping that, but we'll see. Hey, Brian, how's it going? So yeah. All right, let's keep this going. So after Coby White, it went Walker Kessler, Brooke Lopez, and Ivica Zubac, and now Naz Reid. So we've got picks coming up. I do need to kind of get some steals. At some point, I need to get a second center that's starting. But I'm not super duper concerned like that or about that yet. Maybe I try and get D. Lively or a Congo. One of those two. Let's see. Amen Thompson, John Collins just went. So there's four picks before me. I think I will, if he's assuming he's still available, I'll definitely get Chris Paul here. Getting some extra assists, some steals, some a good free throw percentage. Like those things will help with what I'm trying to do here. While not worrying about my field goal percentage. And of course, goodness gracious. Now I'm back. Oh, gosh. Okay, so after John Collins, Jalen Green, Chris Paul, Terry Rozier, and Onyeka Okongwu. So, like, dang it. All right, let me get shoot, I hate that. All right, I'll get Derek Lively. I'll get my second center that starts. And now I got to think. I'm going to get Tyus Jones to get those assists and that steal I was missing out on by not getting Chris Paul. All right, so let me look at my team. So after I went Tyus Jones, I went Clint Capella and Kristaps Porzingis, which I think is totally fine to take Kristaps there. I think that is, I don't know, kind of an interesting one just based off the fact that he's going to be good, but like how much is he going to play? I think taking him in round 10 is fine. Klay Thompson just went. So we're still in round 10. So let's see, we got three more picks here to make. I got Brandon Pajemski in my queue. If he goes within the next few picks, then I know somebody's listening in. And I'll stop saying my queue out loud, but maybe I just need to learn my lesson. Oh my gosh, he was the next pick. All right, I got to stop saying my queue out loud. Whatever. Jeremy Grant and then RJ Barrett were the next two picks. And I'm going to quietly add a few people to my queue, but I'm going to wait, even though it's literally just a mock. To say these names out loud. Who's going to have a better year, Jordan Poole or Anthony Simons? I think the fact that they're saying that Jordan Poole is going to start at point guard just actually makes me feel better about him than Anthony Simons. I think prior to that, I probably would have leaned Simons just slightly. But now that they're saying Jordan Poole is going to start at point guard, he was really good down the stretch last year when Tyus Jones was out because he was playing point guard. So now that he's doing that, I thought that maybe they would have him being like the shooting guard with Malcolm Brogdon starting, but that's not what ended up happening. But yeah, I think Poole's the guy I would lean. Good thing the guys are jokingly sniping you. Good thing for content. And makes the draft more real. That's fair. Showcase how I can adjust instead of just getting the same guys I talk about in every show and same guys I get in every single mock. Yeah, it probably is better for me to try and get some other guys. Because goodness, I definitely have the few guys that I like this year that I've been trying to get. All right. Looking back, middle of round 10 after RJ Barrett went. Cam Johnson, Dan Gafford, Keontae George. Dang, I like that. Bobby Portis, Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis. Two good picks back-to-back that I get quite a bit. Jaime Jaquez, Josh Hart, PJ Washington, and Malik Monk. So let me look at a few guys. Not loving a lot of these options that are still left, but there's some. Don't hate all of them. I think I see a couple that will actually fit pretty well with what I'm trying to do here. But again, it's without saying this out loud, at least at this point. All right, so Asar Thompson and Rui Hachimura just went. All right, adding a few guys to the queue. All right, so now I'm on the clock. So after that, Denny Avdia, Norm Powell, Al Horford, Malcolm Brogdon, boom. Nobody in my queue. That's great. All right. I'm going to get sixth man of the year winner, Dante DiVincenzo. Book it. It's happening. And then I'm going to get Marcus Smart to get me some defensive numbers, some steals specifically. So, yeah, now we got one last flyer to take with the last pick. Maybe I'll go Bronny just for fun. Yes, Edie was the first, and I, unless I'm totally mistaken, the only rookie off the board to this point. I haven't seen any other rookies go. The only other ones I'd imagine, like Reed Sheppard, Alex Saar. That's probably it that might go? Question mark? I don't know. I've got. Yes, this is on YouTube as well. I think I probably should have not even streamed it on Twitter, but oh well. It's on both, so now people can watch. All right. I've got my late round flyers in my queue. So I'm not going to say them out loud so I don't lose all of them. It's on the Fantasy Basketball International channel. So if you just, search on YouTube Fantasy Basketball International, it should pull right up, I think. Hopefully. All right. After I went Marcus Smart, I went Mike Conley, Jaden Ivey, Andrew Nimhard, Donovan Klingon. There's another rookie that went. That one makes sense. Aaron Nesmith and Aaron Gordon. So now we're in the middle of round 12. Forgot about my favorite late round flyer. Gotta add that one to the queue. Oh man, there's too many late round flyers I like. Okay. All right. If we could just go like a couple more rounds, that would be nice. So I get all these guys on my team, but that's okay. Some of these position eligibilities are weird. Like, why is Noah Clowney have small forward eligibility? I don't know. That's very weird. All right, hopefully a few of my guys go. That way I can talk about them. And I don't have to just miss out on drafting them. Or I'll just talk about a few other guys after. So after Aaron Gordon, went Andrew Wiggins, Wendell Carter, and Scoot Henderson. Scoot was in my queue. I was going to be totally fine taking him, considering I don't care about field goal percentage and turnovers. And those are the things that make his 9-cat rank, like outside the top 250 or whatever, even though points, assists, decent threes, like good stuff there. Ooh, we had Carlo Matkovic, I believe is how you pronounce his name, going in round 12. He was in my queue. I no idea who's starting at center for the Pelicans, but I think that he could play a significant role because he can stretch the floor better than Yves Nisi. So we'll see. And it's not like Daniel Tice or I believe Jeremiah Robinson Earl. I think those are the other center options there. So not exactly any of them demanding center minutes. So it's like you just go Matkovic, and if he doesn't play at all, you just drop him. So after he went KCP, Caris LeVert, Grayson Allen, Ben Simmons, Kelly Oubre. I do not have either McDaniels in my queue or intend to take them on. I don't think Jaden McDaniels is like a guy that I just like wouldn't draft, but he's just not a guy I'm super excited about. But unless he went, did he go? Hold on. And to answer this, I'm fine. I like Edie. Yeah, Jaden McDaniels hasn't gone. I like Edie. He already went round 10, so I wasn't able to get him. It is neither Benedict Mathurin nor Nick Richards in my queue, and I have a handful of guys, but neither of them. Yeah, someone's got it. Like, people are listening to this. They have to be. Jaden McDaniels. All right, so after Ben Simmons went, Kelly Oubre, Keon Ellis was in my queue. Jeremy Sohan, Jaden McDaniels, Bilal Coulibaly was in my queue. I mean, I might have to go with just do, like, get my guy. But how do you handle the Nuggets shooting guard situation as a late-round flyer? Do you just pick one and hope, or do you try to get both? I wouldn't stress it enough to try and get both because I don't think starting is, like, guaranteed, oh, this guy's going to pop in fantasy. Although I do feel like there's a halfway decent chance. I don't feel like it's a guarantee. But I think, I mean, kind of could depend on what categories you need, things like that. I don't know. But I think it's something we just keep an eye on. I know Christian Brown was running with the starters today, but I don't know if that means that he's definitely going to stay there. All right. Long-awaited final pick. After Kelly Olynyk, Jonathan Isaac, Jordan Clarkson, I'm going to get my man Dyson Daniels to wrap up the draft. Everybody knew coming, but yeah, get Daniels. Let's do this. Share this, so now we can see my team. So I have a few guys still in my queue, as you can see up here. First one's a little cut off by the logo is D'Anthony Melton. I don't know if he starts or not, but I think he plays like 20 plus 25 minutes a game. Maybe he ends up starting, but he's been really good in limited minutes in fantasy in the past. Chance that he carves out a large role. So upside is there. Next one, Taylor Hendricks. I think there's a chance that he starts. I'm not saying it's a good chance, probably like a 30% chance, maybe less. No idea. It's just an educated guess. But I think there was, I don't know if it was like a report or a beat reporter suggesting their opinion or what it was, but I think that's what it was. Beat reporters like throwing out their opinion, and I believe it was Tony Jones. I believe, but don't quote me on that. He was saying that he thinks that Walker Kessler starts, Lauri Markkanen starts, Keontae George starts, and then I forgot who he said for the other two, but it wasn't Taylor Hendricks. But I think there's a chance that Taylor Hendricks starts. Tari Eason, I just like his fantasy upside. He's not going to start, but could earn minutes. Same thing with Noah Clowney. And my other one was Lonzo Ball as well. So Noah Clowney isn't going to start in front of Nick Claxton, but things could happen. And then Lonzo Ball saying he's going to be ready for opening night. Very good in fantasy when healthy. So I was like, I think he's worth taking a flyer on at the end. So, yeah, this is my team. Just to recap, and this is this in order? It's not in order. We'll say it in order. Jason Tatum, Trae Young, Jaren Jackson, Miles Turner, Darius Garland, Julius Randle, Austin Reeves, Keegan Murray, Derek Lively, Tyus Jones, Dante DiVincenzo, Marcus Smart, and then Dyson Daniels. So just looking at this, field goal percentage. I mean, Derek Lively is going to shoot a great percentage, but really, like, it's only a couple of attempts. It's not that big of a deal. And again, like, it's okay if field goal percentage does pretty well at times. It's not the end of the world if we're punting field goal percentage and we make shots. Free throw percentage, Lively's not taking a ton. So not as great as I probably want it to be, considering I said I was going to try and win that. But with the amount of free throws that Trae Young is going to take, and I expect him to shoot a higher percentage than V5, which was what he did last year, it should be fine. Maybe not elite free throws, but fine. Plenty of threes. I mean, this is last year's numbers. So, like, roles changed, but I think I'd rather look at last year's numbers than someone else's projections. And that's not to say anything negative about somebody else's projections, but I just don't know what goes into it. So threes, I mean, bunch of great shooting options. I assume Dyson Daniels gets over one per game, at least just by playing more and getting open shots from Trae Young. The only one that's not hitting three is Derek Lively, but whatever. Everybody else hit at least one and a half per game last year, except for Daniel, but I could see him getting there. a lot of points, not a ton of guys that aren't scoring. I mean, most of these guys were at least 15 points per game or close. And then Lively, I assume, gets over double digits this year. Same with Dyson Daniels. Not great rebounding. I don't think as bad as I thought it was going to be. Because a couple of like just average rebounders, I mean, Lively's numbers will go up because I think that they said they were going to roll with him as the starter early on, but that could change. The assists, I think Trae Young, Garland, and Tyus Jones are my main source there, but I can still get a couple of other guys that have pretty decent numbers. I think in the late rounds, I was getting a lot of like one steal per game guys, not elite, but not terrible. The blocks is mostly coming from three guys. So I guess I didn't take that into account quite as much. But I mean, how many elite shot blockers are there? So I think getting those three makes me competitive in those in that category. And then turnovers, I mean, it just literally depends. All of these depend week to week, but sometimes Trae Young turns it over like 7 or 8 times a game, and sometimes he doesn't. So I feel like that's such a hard category to intentionally win while still intentionally winning other categories. But do you believe in schedules for fantasy basketball? Do you even look at that before drafting your players? I think it's something that you can consider. And I think that if this was like not just a mock draft, that maybe I would have considered it a little bit. But I think to me, the main thing is like, who is going to play like championship week? Is like 2 years in a row, having Dallas only play 2 games during what should be the championship week, if you're ending your season early enough, like that stinks. And I think like, to me, it's like, oh, like I might take SGA over Luka at 3, but I'm not going to let Luka fall further because of that. So to my understanding, from what I remember, Dallas was the only team where that was an issue. So getting Derek Lively, like, I mean, that kind of stinks. But if I'm in the fantasy championship, then clearly I drafted the rest of my team well. So it's not something that I'm too concerned about, but maybe other people do care about that more and it works out for them, then cool. But I think that's the main thing, is because I mean, everybody's going to play 82 games, and obviously with your ending your season a few weeks early, you're not getting 82 games out of everyone. But I think the main thing to look at is like championship or playoff weeks to see if there's some sort of issue. I'm not even talking about like back-to-backs. Like if you wanted to do that, you could, but I think it's just way too far in advance. Like so many different things happen because like, yeah, sure, you could get the guy that's only going to play or that's going to play 4 games as opposed to 2 games. Like that seems like an advantage to you getting around to that week. And Luka has 2 well-rested massive games and the other player sits out 1 or 2 because they're back to backs or they're hurt. And then it's like, okay, I'd rather have 2 games of Luka than 0 games of Jokic or SG. So it's kind of early to look at it, but you can. I don't think it's going to impact too much, though. Yeah, that's going to do it. Now that I've monologued for almost, I won't say 50 minutes. I won't say almost an hour, but it feels like almost an hour. So I'm going to go do something else. I'm giving my voice a break. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Tank Me Later podcast. As a reminder, we are looking to fill out some of these FBI leagues. There might be some Dynasty League openings. I'm not entirely sure. But if you're interested in any redraft or Dynasty Leagues, you might be taking over a spot for a Dynasty League. But just actually, no, I definitely have some Dynasty Leagues open. Not me, but know of some Dynasty Leagues open. So if you're interested in that, let me know. If you need a redraft league or more redraft leagues, let me know as well. Or reach out to B-Dub or Adam King. That's going to do it for this episode, actually. Yeah, that is going to do it for this episode of the Tank Me Later podcast, and I will see you next time.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.